All right, church, if you would, please turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans 1. Romans 1. This is the universal side for excitement. Maybe greed, but no, excitement. Greedy for the gospel is good. Romans 1. We're going to be looking at 1 through 7. And this is, I think it's 1 through 17. The main idea is the gospel's global operation. And we're looking at, we'll look at like three different sermons between 1 and 17. The first today is specifically Paul's main mission. 1 through 7. God's word says this. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which is promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for his name's sake, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We ask that you would help us to see this glorious gospel, what the righteousness of God looks like. And Lord, that we can grasp this, that we can understand this. If we get this, we get this book, if we understand the gospel, we have everything. Everything. And so help us to be excited about this study. Help us to dive into the book of Romans. Help us to consume it like good food. In Jesus' name, amen. Some of you have maybe been to a water park before. Wet n Wild is a park that I've been to in Florida. There's slides and all that. But for me, as an older man, my best ride is what? The Lazy River. The Lazy River! You grab a float, you get on it, and then you just go around. It seems harmless, right? Until you try to exit the Lazy River. There's many exits that goes around the park, but sometimes it's like, hey, I need to get off here. And then you start doing the little, you know, the flap over, try to get over. And if you miss that exit, if you try to like backtrack, there is no backtracking. You'll tear your feet up trying to go against the flow of the Lazy River. The Lazy River is actually pretty strong. The Lazy River actually moves, we're talking about millions of gallons of water. And you're not going to go fighting the Lazy River easily. There is a flow to the river, and there is a flow going on in the world. I had a t-shirt when I was a kid. Well, not a kid. I was a young Christian. But it had a little Christian fish. Right? And then it had all these gnarly fish going the other way. Right? The Christian fish was going against all these ugly, gnarly, teeth-ridden fish. And it was the idea of, you know, going against the flow. Going against the flow. And I thought, as a Christian, I need to go against the flow. And in some aspects you do. But the flow in the world is actually flowing with us. It's the gnarly fish, it's the pagans, it's those that hate God that are going against the current. The current of the world is actually going with God, going with God's plan. Now the world hates it, the world fights it, but they're the ones struggling against God. They're the one going against his will. And what Paul's going to lay out is that There is a major operation going on, and his mission is to be a part of this, and this mission will not fail. It's not going to fail. They're not going to be able to stop it. As soon as they start struggling against God, they will go back in the flow. They will lose the battle. They will be washed away. Either they will bow the knee to Christ, or they will be destroyed by the righteousness and justice and fury of God. But this is where life is going. This is what is happening. We must learn to go with the flow. What we're going to find are three truths that Paul's main mission. We're going to start understanding Paul's just what he's trying to do here in this church. And the purpose is that you would align your life with God's main mission. This doesn't mean you just jump on the float and do nothing, but you align your life. You go with the flow. Anytime you see friction in your life, it might be because you're not going with the flow of God's will, what he's accomplishing in the world. And so we don't really have a review because we're starting off, but I'll give you some background and why Paul's writing this. Again, this is the Church of Rome, and we don't know how this started, really. There's speculation, maybe, in Acts when Peter preaches, maybe some Roman Jewish guys were there. They came to Christ. They started a church in Rome. The Catholic Church wants to say Peter started it, but we don't know. But we know there's a church there. And then after this church develops and starts, this emperor, Claudius, the Roman emperor, actually expels the Jews. And so you have a Christian church with Gentiles and Jews, but then the Jews have to leave. So the Christian church is now mainly Gentiles, and they start doing church, doing it the way that they feel that God is leading them. And now what has happened is now the Jews can come back to Rome. They've been allowed back, and now they just want to get back into their church. And now the church has different leadership, different customs. Things have changed. It's not as Jewish as the Jews would want them, the Christian Jews would want them. And now there's all these questions about circumcision and different things. And there's, how does we apply the law of God? What's going on? And what Paul is trying to do is unify this church. He's going to unify this church. And how is he going to do this? He's going to focus on the gospel. He's going to focus on the gospel. And so it's funny. He's like, I desire to preach to you. It's like, these are Christians. These are the elect. And what does he want to preach? The gospel. The gospel. Why? Because it's going to bring unity. The gospel is for, yes, bringing the nations in submission, but the gospel is for unifying the church. And this is a theme we're going to see throughout the book. We're going to see that, hey, if we're going to be unified, we need to understand the gospel. If we want to reach the nations, we need to understand the gospel. And so this is what we're going to get into. So three truths about Paul's main mission. Here we go. First one is this. Paul's main mission aligns with God's unique profession. Paul's main mission aligns with God's unique profession. Did I read this passage yet? Yeah, I did. Yes. Okay. Let's look at... Let's think about this for a second. And when I say profession here, I'm not talking about a statement of faith. Profession as a occupation. So an occupation. Think about this. How many people can say there were Navy SEALs? I don't know. How many Navy SEALs are there? You know, you take the population, you take a percentage. Very few. 0.0001%, right? And then you can go to Delta Force. You can get real specific. And it gets more elite, more elite. The most elite group in the world, in history, are the apostles. They are the elite of elite as far as special forces in a spiritual way, right? And Paul is saying that he is an apostle of Jesus Christ. He is an apostle, and he's gonna couch his apostleship in a unique way, he's going to call himself a bondservant, a slave, right? He wants them to know he has authority, but he wants them to know that he is a servant, a slave. This is a unique way of it, kind of expressing himself. We know in 1 Corinthians 15:8, he says that he is one untimely born, right? He didn't come like the other apostles came. Jesus didn't come to him by the sea and say, follow me. No, it was a bit different. He was untimely born. It means stillbirth or miscarried. It has an ugly connotation to it. It has the idea that his salvation was sudden, unexpected, and kind of weird. Right? Untimely born. It was different than the other apostles. We know the story. He was persecuting the church. He participated in killing Stephen. He was there holding it. He would have killed him if he could, but he had other jobs. He had to hold the clothes of these young guys because, you know, when you got a lot of clothes on you, it's hard to beat people to death. Hearty approval. He was persecuting the church. He was evil. Evil. We know the story. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle. I think Paul is saying here that he is a slave. He is saying that he's a slave, but the type of slave that when given the opportunity to have freedom, the slave can go, but this type of slave says, I don't want to go. He gets a sign, an earring of sorts of something in his ear, right? And it's saying that I want to stay and serve this master. I don't want to go. I see this master as worthy. I'll give the rest of my life being a slave to this one. He sees himself as a bondservant. Do you see yourself as a bondservant? If given the freedom, would you go? If another way, would you take it? If another way of salvation, maybe, another way of religion, would you take this way? Do you see the value? Do you see the worth of Jesus Christ? Many say they follow Jesus, but really, they treat him like the slave. They treat him like the bondservant. I mean, I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm standing up for you. I'm going to church, right? And they serve a false Jesus. We are the slaves. We are the servants. He is the Lord. He is the master. And we follow him. We give our lives to him. Paul knew that Jesus was king. Paul knew that Jesus was master. Do you know that? Do you live that? Do you believe that? When people look at your lives, they say, oh yeah, he's a Christ follower. He's a Christ follower. He saw himself as slave. But he knew that he had a unique authority to represent the king. It was a unique superior. He was a unique superior. He says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Paul knew that he had come where he had come from. Paul knew that he was a rebel against God. 1 Corinthians 15:9, he says, for I am the least of the apostles. I'm the least. And I'm not fit to be called an apostle. Why, Paul? Because I persecuted the church. That's how he saw himself. He was aware of his past. He considered himself a slave. But Paul is saying, I'm a true apostle. He's humble. He knows his position. that he's a slave, but he's called. He's called. It says he's set apart. Set apart has the idea of to separate, to divide, to mark off. God carved out the apostles. You are not apostles. You're not apostles. This is a special office, and there are no modern day apostles. I don't care what they say on TV. They're not apostles. They're unique. But Paul, he was carved out of the apostles. He was unique in that it was a weird situation. And he was rebelling against God in a weird way, an extreme way. And he sees that. And this is his story. This is his testimony. We know that Paul brings this story up over and over. He gets before kings and he brings the story that Jesus came in blinding light. He uses this story over and over. And it humbles him, right? It humbles him. And what's your story? What's your story? Do you have a story? A rebel against God? And God's grace, God's mercy did something. And like Paul, now you have a mission. Like Paul, now you have a direction. Like Paul, you must be for something. You must be about something. Even though your past was nasty, even though your past was dark, did you help kill Stephen? You're like, no, I haven't killed anybody. Did you persecute the church? I don't think so. The point is not to make you feel better about yourself. The point is that if God could use Paul in such a great way, he can use you. He can use you. And he not only wants to use you, he is commanding you to be used. You see, you were saved for a purpose. We need to be able to see our sin and deal with it, and see our authority, and see our mission, and fulfill it. We need to be able to deal with our sin, and yet fulfill our mission. And that's what we see every week when we come before the Lord, confess our sins, and then we have the assurance of pardon. Over and over, we're learning this, right? And we need this. And you need this daily. To get on your knees, and then stand. Get on your knees, and then stand. And this is what Paul's doing. He says, I was this, but I am an apostle. You see what he's doing there? Saying, I'm a slave. I'm humble, but I am a servant of the King. I have a mission. I have authority. And same with you. Again, there's no apostles anymore. But we, what? Follow after the apostles' teaching. We, the church, has authority. We have a mission. Are you fulfilling this mission? Or are you crying and being humble to the point where you're not doing anything? That's not humility. That's a form of rebellion. Just because you have a pity party and you beat yourself up and you flog yourself and you say, I'm trying to be humble and I'm not worthy. Okay. But that's still rebellion. Because God says, you have a mission. God says, you are my people. God says, you are my brothers and sisters and servants. And you have to do stuff. You have to go out and proclaim his name. The gospel doesn't move forward unless the church is moving forward. And so we see that Paul's main mission aligns with God's unique profession. Again, this idea of the apostles, but Paul's mission aligns with God's eternal plan. Look at verse 2. This is amazing. Verse 2, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. We'll stop there. Imagine you you're 18 years old, you're young, or you're maybe you're older, depending on the context. But you have decisions to make in your life. You have three paths. You come to this fork in the road, but with three paths, all right? And you know that if I start on this path, and I go down, and I find out that it's not the right path, and I got to come back to the beginning, we're talking 20 years, there and back. So wherever path you go means something. And yet, out of nowhere, maybe a light from heaven, maybe an angel comes and says, take this path. I promise you, by the name of Jesus, take this path. And you're convinced. You're convinced that this is true. Maybe it's you're convinced that this is in the scriptures. And you say, all right, this is the path of promise. Maybe I should align my life with the path of promise. Don't you think it's smart to go where God says to go? And this is what Paul is saying. This is what Paul is doing. He's aligning his life with the path of promise. He's aligning his life with God's will to save the world. This is the path to go on. This is the path where we should give our lives to. This is what's happening here. Hebrews, I think it's 1:1. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken in his Son. Again, he can speak through angels. He can speak from heaven, but he's spoken through his Son. How did he do this? Through his apostles, right? Writing the Gospels. Jesus speaks because they penned it down. He speaks, he works. Galatians 4:28 says, and you, brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise. Paul was certain of the promise. He identified that he was a child of promise. And he even reaches out to these Romans and says, you are the elect. You are what? The children of promise. And so we have a path. We have a lineage. We are the people of God. And yet, the people of God don't know where to go. They don't know where they're aligning their lives with, right? Just think of this. The gospel, the power of the gospel, God saved them through this message. They've come to Christ. Their salvation is complete. And then they don't know where to go in life, right? They go to church. And I said, and they're saved. They're real children of the promise. But then they're confused for the rest of their life. They don't know what to do with themselves. The thing that saved you, the God that made promises, the path that saved you is the path that you continue in. The God that saved you, the promises made, that is the path that you continue in. That is the life that you give yourself to. Now, it doesn't mean that you're all going to be preachers. It doesn't mean you're all going to be apostles in the sense of going to towns and preaching the gospel, getting stoned, right? It doesn't mean that you have to be a pastor or any office in the church. But it does mean that you value this salvation and you give your life. So this path, it looks like teaching your children, right? It looks like being committed to a local church. It looks like seeing the world from a different lens. It looks like what you have answers that other people don't have answers to. And when they come to you and they see your life, you give them those answers. It's like a foreigner, right? You go to a different country and they want to know, what do you do in America, right? And they're interested, they're curious. We do this, we do this. You explain yourself. You're almost like a representative of America. And they're interested. And that's how we walk around. We are representatives of the kingdom. And so we have, we shine a little bit. We stand a little taller. We're not ashamed of our heritage, of our message, of our gospel. Are you living this out? The gospel was promised. The gospel was promised. Verse 3, it says, concerning his son who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. All right? And so what is Paul doing here? He's saying, hey, this is all connected. This all has history. This has all been fulfilled. We're not ashamed of the Old Testament. Paul is saying, this is exciting. This was talked about. And the thing was, Paul was the Jewish scholar, the rabbi, the Pharisee of Pharisees. He knew the scriptures, probably memorized great portions of it, and could not see this. He couldn't see it. He couldn't see that this Jesus was the same Jesus in Isaiah 53. He could not see it until what? Jesus came and opened his eyes. Well, blinded his eyes. He blinded his eyes. And then he could see. Knocked him off the horse. Saved him. And now this mystery, a thing that was hidden in the past that he couldn't understand, now revealed. But it was always there. And this is our story. We take this for granted, right? That we believe these things. We take this for granted that we actually knew more than this apostle and this Paul, we'll call him Saul, right? This Pharisee that was a genius. And some of you guys, you know more than you think. You have more than you know, right? There might be some atheist and he's really smart and you might not have all the answers, but you know the living God. You know the living God. Glory in this. Glory in what God has done. So the gospel was promised, and the gospel was proven. It was proven. What is the proof of this fulfillment? Verse 4. Who was declared, see, there's a declaration going on with an event. Who was declared the Son of God with power. How? Because the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection speaks. But the resurrection is not saying, we always at Easter, the resurrection, we're like, Jesus was God. And that's one thing it's saying, definitely. But that's kind of what our thing is. Jesus is God, he rose from the dead. I mean, look at this. And we use it for this proof. But this is not what he's trying to prove here. Right? This is not what he's trying to prove. What does it say? Who was declared? The resurrection is speaking something. Declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection. So yes, he's God, but he's the Son of God. He has authority. He is king. He is ruler. Again, put your life, you have that, he says, go this path. And you say, I'm going to go this path. But as you're on this path, do you believe that Christ is king? Say, yeah, he's going to be king. No, he is king. Yeah, but he's going to be. No, he is. And I know there's a tension here. I know that it's going to be greater later. But he is king. He wants you to live as he's king. Your whole life is designed around this. We do live differently than the world. And we shouldn't be ashamed of it. That's why we come together as a community. We come together and we are worshiping the Lord and we're speaking a different language. We have different customs. We do different things. Don't be ashamed of these things. Embrace these things. Be weird. Be different. So others are like confused. You should speak, say things, talk of God, talk of the realities in any situation, family, church, the civil sphere, and people should be saying, what? What are you talking about? Like, it's a different language. They should be surprised. because you're so biblical, you're so knowledgeable, you're dispensing wisdom, truth, and you see the world differently. You walk differently. It's exciting that we can be these ambassadors for Christ. So it was proven. The resurrection did prove that Jesus was God, but even more, it proves that the gospel has power to change everything. You have to believe this. If you want to know Romans, if you want to understand Romans, you must believe that the gospel has power to change everything. Everything. Paul believed this. He believed that this was going to be the answer for the unity of this little church. But not only that, this is going to be the answer for the unity of all the nations. This is the vehicle. This is what is going to happen. And he doesn't doubt this. This is just it. This is just truth. He lives this truth out. The gospel is God's eternal plan. The gospel has been what has been planned from the beginning of the world. This whole thing has been about glorifying the Son. This whole thing has been about glorifying the Son in such a way that all will recognize what He has done, His great value, would praise Him. Why would any Christian be ashamed of this? Why would any Christian be ashamed of this? Because they're kind of caught up in the world, right? They're thinking like the world. They're saved, but they're not walking along this path. They're still confused of what happened to them. And Paul's saying, I'll tell you what happened to you. I'm going to tell you what happened. And now you need to start walking in this manner. You need to start understanding these things. Paul aligned his whole life with this truth. He's completely sold out with this truth of the gospel, that it has power, that's bringing in the nations, that it heals all. And the question is, are you? Do you believe? Do you believe? You say, well, the angel came and told me. All right, we have something better than the angels. We have the Son. Do you believe? Do you really believe this? I'm not saying that you're not saved. I'm just saying, do you believe it to the point where you give everything to this? Everything. Paul's main mission aligns with God's unique profession or occupation. Paul's main mission aligns with God's eternal plan. Finally, Paul's main mission aligns with God's ultimate purpose. The gospel will accomplish a great purpose. What is that ultimate purpose? Look at verse 5. It says this, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about what? The obedience of faith among all the Gentiles for His, what? Namesake. His sake. Again, this is a building crescendo here of the purposes of God before the foundations of the world. This is where it's all going. And what is the ultimate purpose? I like the way the ESV says it. It says, to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of His name among all the nations. For the sake of His name. What's at stake here is Jesus's glory, Jesus's name. And do you think God is going to start a path that would not glorify Jesus's name? No, no. This is what is going to happen. This is what is happening. This is what will happen. Jesus's name will be glorified. And that's the path that you need to give your life to. You say, all right, I'll glorify your name, Jesus, right? Okay, you can say it with your lips, but are you glorifying Him with your mind? Are you glorifying with your life? everything that you're planning out, all that you're doing daily, do you see that he affects everything? You glorify him in the way you work. You glorify him in the way you sleep. You glorify him the way you treat your wife, treat your children. You glorify him in all that you do. This is what it's all about. It's exciting. It's happening. Just align your life with what is happening. Again, you're being taken by this current. This current is flowing. Why go against it? And that's what Paul is just doing here. He's just, hey, this is the reality. Align your life with reality. Align your life of what's going to happen. And your life's going to be a lot easier. A lot easier. It's going to happen. Again, his sake, Jesus' name will be glorified among all the nations. This is not a wish. This is not a hope. This is a certainty. This will happen. Is God going to promise something that's not going to happen? Is God a liar? God forbid this even think that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, we have different views on how this is going to be accomplished, but we all know it's going to be accomplished. And this should bring great glory, great hope, great confidence in the way you live. This is the accomplishment, the power and promise of God. The nations will bow. The nations will bow. Amen. The nations will bow. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And this should be, there should be a tingling up your spine, an excitement within your soul to know that everything will be accomplished. Amen. And then you say, all right, I see that. I don't know how it's all going to turn out. I understand there's different ideas. But now I'm going to live my life with that truth. With that truth, I'm going to live my life, and I'm going to start aligning my life with that truth. So where is fear? Where is uncertainty? Where is lack of purpose? There's none. There should be no fear. There should be no lack of certainty. You should have great purpose. He's won. He's risen. It's going to happen. It's been proven. So align your life with what is going to happen. Align your life with what is happening. I look at this as kind of like a, you know, you think of energy, you might think of an outlet. It's potential power, right? And many people view the gospel as I need to plug myself into the gospel, right? Plug into the outlet on the wall. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not what we're talking about. It's not plugging into the gospel and then you become a little spiritual and have some, you know, some wisdom. No. It's not potential power. This is proactive power. So don't think of an outlet. Think of the sun. The sun rises in the east. Can you stop the sun from rising? Can you stop the sun from affecting the seas? It warms the seas. It grows the trees. All life is given. The sun is rising. Can you affect it? Can you stop it? No. This is the power we're talking about with the gospel. It will accomplish. It will rise. And the sun feels like it's rising kind of slow, you know, in the morning. You're like, oh, there's some light over there. But it's rising. And all will be accomplished. All will be accomplished. The sun is unstoppable. The sun rises and warms. There's no stopping the sun. There's no stopping the Father that created this sun. And there's no stopping the Father who glorifies his Son, Jesus Christ. He is worthy. All will bow. He is worthy. All will bow. Philippians 2, verse 9. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that's above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you believe this? You say, well, there's some problems. I get it. I don't know, you know, there's hard times. I get it. But overall, do you believe this? This should just bring great peace, great comfort, knowing that you are aligning your life with the purposes of God. Okay. It's beautiful. And Paul is so convinced of this that he's like, hey, Romans, I know you got issues. I know there's division. We're going to talk about this. But before we do that, we're going to talk about the gospel. So the gospel is going to what brings everything into perspective, right? Start having these little divisions of we don't believe this and all that, but we understand the gospel and what's going to happen and what is happening. It heals. It makes all the little things pale into comparison, right? There's something so big, so great, so glorifying to God. Jesus is King. All will be all right. Everything's going to be okay for the believer. It's easy not to fight over the carpet, right? It's easy not to think that our little opinions matter that much. Again, big things. We might disagree. We might have to go to another church. But we should be unified. The gospel unifies the church. The gospel unifies the nations. And not in a weird UN type of way. In a real way, where he's king. Right? So, his sake, and then let's look at verse 6, his saints. He says, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ, the elect, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Some may say this is too grandiose. Some may say this is too positive. Some may say this is too much. But you doubt that this could happen. But think of this. It happened to you. It happened to you. I don't know about those other people. I mean, do you know how evil they are? Do you remember Paul? Basically a murderer. Persecuting the church. Oh, do you remember your sin? Oh, yeah. I guess that was pretty bad. Yeah, you were really bad. You were dead. God saved you. So to think that he won't for them, to think that he's not going to keep going for them, it's foolishness. It's pride. It's arrogance. You thinking that God can't accomplish is showing how foolish, how proud you are, and how you can't see your own sin. That you don't think that maybe I was a sinful, maybe you think that you were pretty good. I don't know what it is. But God can save. God can save. I've been talking about the guy Wes Huff. You guys, anyway, he's like this, I don't know what he is. Scholar, you know, historian, whatever. Apologist. And just kind of how this whole thing blew up, where he got very popular. And he ended up on Joe Rogan's show, you know. And it was good. It's a good program, a good 3 hours or whatever. But now I just saw him on another podcast, and the guys were asking him, and he's like, yeah, Joe's like texting me. They're like buddies now, you know. And he's like, Joe's going to church now. I don't know what's going on, you know. It's like, Joe Rogan? We went to his comedy. We were trying to, as a church in Florida, we wanted to go to a nice, clean comedy act. And so we went to, I'm serious, no, we did. It was like a comedian, his little fat guy, Fluffy. You know Fluffy? Yeah. So he was like the clean comedian. I don't know if he is now, but he was then. But who was opening for him was Joe Rogan. And we didn't know that. And so we went in, and Joe's like this rabid atheist, just saying all this horrible stuff about Christians and cursing and all this. And so we walked out. And I kind of had to because some of the ladies were like, I gotta walk out. So I was like, all right, I'll walk out with them. And so we waited in the lobby and the manager came out. He's like, just wait here. When he's off, then just come back in. So they were really gracious. And so that's what we did. So we had our little moment of standing against Joe Rogan and this atheism. And then we came back in and watched the other guy.
That guy is going to church. I don't know if he's saved. I don't know.
But God does things. God does amazing things. And to say that he won't, to say that he can't, is foolishness, arrogance, pride. God is doing things. And he will accomplish everything. He will accomplish everything. And we need to be hopeful. We need to be thankful. And we need to align our lives with what Paul aligned his life with, this beautiful message of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. You'll start understanding its power. But give your life to this. Give your life to this. All right, so we've seen that Paul's main mission aligns with God's unique profession. And again, this profession is an occupation. He recognizes that he is an apostle. Again, you're not an apostle. There's no more apostles. And so he is special, commissioned by Christ to give the message, more specifically to the Gentiles. A little bit differently. He's unique. He sees himself as a slave, but he is a superior. He does have authority, and we hold to his teachings because they're the teachings of Christ. They're God's words. And then second, we saw that Paul's main mission aligns with God's eternal plan. Align yourself with what God has planned. This will happen. The gospel was promised. And it was proven by his resurrection. All this is taking place. All that the scriptures have said is true. He is the Christ. He is King. He is risen. And he will accomplish everything. And his name will be praised among all the nations forever and ever and ever. And then third, Paul's main mission aligns with God's ultimate purpose. His sake. His name is on the line. And for some reason, he wants to use not angels. There's no apostles anymore. There's no prophets anymore. What is he going to use to speak? His church. His bride. His saints. That's what he's going to use. He's carrying this plan out. And he will use us. He will use us. So get over your sin. Don't take it lightly. But Christ has nailed it to the cross. He has covered it with his blood. Now get up, walk, and live out this gospel so the world could see. Live this out. Don't be ashamed of it. Do not be ashamed of this glorious gospel. And the challenge is this, that you would align your life. So ask this week, pray to God, say, where am I not aligning my life? And again, I'm not saying you're going to have to be this missionary, but in every little corner of your life, how are you showing that Christ is King? How are you showing that the gospel is powerful? Ask God to show you some area this week that is not under the reign and purpose and the flow of this great message of the gospel. All right, let's pray. Father, we do come before you. We thank you so much for this message, just the beginning of the book of Romans. We're so excited, Lord, that we get to study this. And we pray that it would transform us in amazing ways, that we would really start to understand this gospel, that we would really start to live this gospel out, that we would trust in your great ways, in Jesus' name, amen.